Blog Talk Radio. Hello, world. Welcome to Happy Talk Radio. This is Gloria Stanley, your host with a media scope embracing love, hope, peace, and optimism in times like these during COVID-19. Our lives have changed immeasurably during the past several weeks. The coronavirus, known as COVID-19, has taken its formation as a pandemic. We got to play it safe. Currently, there are suggested mandatory restraints in effect. No longer are we shaking hands or giving hugs, but practicing social distancing, staying at home and living in quarantine. What does that mean for you and me? Today, Happy Talk Radio will look at the impact of COVID-19 on Bibb County School District and educational learning for our children here and abroad. So history's in the making, world. For the first time ever, our children, K-12 and college students, will finish up their 2019-2020 school year in Georgia and around the nation learning from a distance. What does that model look like? Well, Dr. Curtis Jones, winner of 2018 Georgia Superintendent Award and 2019 National Superintendent Award, will candidly share facts and his perspective on the impact of this unprecedented norm, COVID-19, in Bibb County School District and surrounding communities. Welcome to the show, Dr. Jones.
Thank you, ma'am. Very happy to be with you.
So before we get started, would you please share with the audience in terms of how long you have been in the Bibb County School District, your experience in terms of what you will share with us today?
I have been with the Bibb County School District since April 2015, so I'm celebrating my fifth year anniversary with the school district. During that time, I have been able to see principals excel and improve as we work to make sure that our in-person instruction had improved. And what I've been able to experience over the last few weeks and months to come has been what COVID-19 has been able to cause us to change and to give us a different perspective on what does it mean for teachers and educators to know technology, and what does it mean for teachers to really demonstrate competency in this ever-changing world.
So this is a very challenging time for all of us. Tell us, what changes have you made in the Bibb County School District because of COVID-19?
Well, I appreciate that. Our mission has always been to develop a highly trained staff and an engaged community dedicated to preparing each student for a 21st century global society. It sounds highfalutin, but basically it says that we're there to help students learn, to get ready so they can get a job, by being college or career ready, and also being a productive citizen. What COVID-19 has done is given us reason to pause and understand from our perspective how that instruction will occur. And so instead of having 21,000 students come to our schools every day, getting 6 hours of instruction every day, we have changed so that now we have about 15,000 students who are learning online with devices that they either have on their own or that we were able to issue them. And we have teachers who are providing instruction pretty much for about 2 to 3 hours a day now, and being able to answer students' questions in their, what I will call, their off time. But it's created a different challenge for teachers as well, as they're trying to balance helping their children learn as well as instruct other kids. The other statement that I will tell you has been important for us has been looking at what COVID-19 has really required us to do as far as looking at our custodial staff, our nutrition workers, bus drivers, for example. Once COVID-19 hit, custodians were asked to go in and sanitize our schools to make sure that we would be able to return to a work environment that would be safe for them. It gives a different meaning to the word, a safe and secure learning environment. The other part of it is nutrition workers, while we know that they were serving meals for breakfast and lunch to a large part of our population, now they're having to prepare meals and take them out into community and let students have them. How we were doing it in the last year during the summer is different than how we're doing it now. And so that became critical for us, as I've shared with people across the state, that a lot of times we say the everyday heroes are the health care providers, police and fire. I think we now see it's also nutrition workers who are willing to go out in this environment, prepare food, and then get to locations where students can pick it up. And then lastly, I think it's given us a reason to recognize the true value of our bus drivers. It's a thankless job. Sometimes bus drivers have to put up with a lot of discipline from students that, you know, most parents would not want to put up with or don't even believe their kids do. But now we have some bus drivers driving some of our nutrition workers around to these different sites. And so they're responding in cases where I'm not sure everyone would be willing to. They're not the highest paid individuals we have. I don't think when they actually got the jobs, they thought about a pandemic requiring them to go out in this situation. But when Governor Kemp said that our top priorities were to do remote or online learning and to prepare and distribute foods, it fell on those shoulders, and it changed our entire response plan as we tried to look and see what is it we can do to do this in a safe manner.
So exactly, what does the e-learning model look like?
So for us, e-learning has been a different version of what we call a flipped classroom. Students were either able to use devices that they already had at home computers, or they were able to use iPads, and they would be able to go into Microsoft Teams and meet with their teacher and receive, in some cases, small instruction. Some teachers are putting video clips on so students can see how different operations in math work, or they may be able to see how words should be sounded out as far as reading, or they could see a passage online. But they would be able to have a class discussion. So we've been using Microsoft Teams to help us create an online classroom environment. That's been challenging for our teachers because while we've always had the technology, not everyone had taken the opportunity to really experience it and understand what it looked like and how it could feel on a continuous basis. And so that becomes the first part. The second part of online learning has been recognizing that you can't do 6 hours of instruction with five different classes every hour. You need time for the information to process. You need time for teachers to reach out to individual students and find out what it is they know, don't know, provide feedback to them, and then be able to respond. And so we've modified it from where it was following your regular schedule every day to now you may have two classes on Monday, a different two classes on Tuesday, other classes on Wednesday. So people have a chance to do the work, respond, and then get back to the teacher, if not the next day, then the day after. And so that's been a change for us as well.
Well, how are they grading the students? How are the teachers grading the students?
So what we've decided to do is look at the grades that happened through March 16th. As you know, we're on a nine-week schedule. And so at the end of 9 weeks, students were to get either a report card or a progress report. We decided to go ahead and take the progress report that was in place on March 16th and say, for purposes moving forward, this is the grade that you're going to have for the rest of the year. The thought being that we did not want to penalize students because they may not have technology. They may not have internet. And we just weren't sure what this environment would look like. And so the grade picks up with where that was. And what I have asked teachers and instructional leaders to do is to work with students to remediate that grade. And so if you're not happy with where you are because it's a C and you want a B, let's talk about what standards you don't know, what tasks you or skills you've not demonstrated so you can improve. And teachers are having to do what we always knew they were doing, but not rely so much on test grades, but as much as their professional knowledge and abilities to communicate with students and see what it is they know and don't know. Part of the e-learning environment that I did not get to share earlier is some students were receiving packets. And so we were able to, before we went on the e-learning journey, we prepared packets and sent them home with students. Then it became difficult to gather those packets back up and bring them back in so then teachers could come get them and grade them. That just created, again, collection of people in a time where we did not really need to have large groups coming together. And so teachers had to then see different ways of providing feedback to students. And so they had to have conversations. And in a lot of ways, that's what we were already asking students to do. Explain in your own words what you're thinking. So if we can see what they're thinking and understand what they're thinking, then we have a better idea of what they have learned and what they still need to learn. So grades are going to be modified based off the March 16th report card, which we turn to a progress report. And students are going to receive an evaluation on where they are on all the standards that they were to learn this year moving forward.
So does this model work for the elementary school students as well as the high school students?
It works very well for high school students because they are used to doing what we call credit recovery or credit repair. I would tell you that the downside is that in some cases, students don't work as hard during the first part of school because they know that they can work at the end and try and catch up. But I'll be honest, it doesn't work as well when the grade is down because an assignment was missing and they were given a zero. That doesn't mean the student doesn't know it. It just means that we're now putting a zero in. And as you know, a zero with 100 averages out to 50. It doesn't give you a true picture of what the student may know. It's what do they know there at the very end, which is what we should be doing our best to evaluate and to assess and to assign to students. It works better for high school students as they're doing credit recovery, credit repair. For elementary students, especially those in the early grades where they're trying to learn to read, it's not as great as having a teacher in front of you, watching you, hearing the way you pronounce words, form your mouth, and be able to pronounce syllables.
Well, you know, I am a part of the Read United program that has been in the public school system. And so there are those students who were having some problems in terms of reading. Are there any other way that we are addressing those kids who were having those issues?
Well, what we are using is technology to help us out as best we can. So we had some reading programs that we were using that would allow students to, as they speak into a computer, write the words so students could see them. In some cases, when it does that, it will color code the words so you can see what is a noun or a verb or an adjective. And students are able to learn more. So what we're finding is that teachers are now having to do more facilitation than instruction. And in a lot of ways, that's not a bad way to go, because I think once students are facilitated in their learning, they accept more ownership of their learning, and it just doesn't become a drill that you're going through, a routine where you're trying to get through the day. So right now, I think we're focused more on tasks and skills that students can see, whereas if you come to school every day, it's almost just like work. This is what you go do. Now they have an opportunity to really show that strength of character we're looking for, which is, how do I demonstrate I've learned this? What is it I'm now going to do? The other thing that we've learned in elementary school is, especially for those who are online and using the technology, they speak up more. Sometimes there's social pressure not to raise your hand, not to be the one that volunteers answers. And if you are not one of the considered smart kids, you may not want to answer as much, but this has given us a different way. So everybody's kind of seen the same, and they feel more comfortable speaking. Teachers are able to control individual conversations with students as well. So that's worked. I would tell you the downside has been parents are now seeing how hard it is to teach students, and it has in some cases been overwhelming for them to keep up with the amount of work and the amount of learning that students were going through. So for those parents who would say all the fun has left school, especially at the elementary level where you don't have time for recess and you're just going from one subject to another, that's true. We were working hard, and that's what the result is of this test-driven society that we've become, where everything is based upon the Georgia milestones, and we want to see what students can do compared to other students instead of being focused on what are students learning and how are they growing.
So how has COVID-19 impact the high school graduation, the students' high school graduation?
High school graduation is still going to be a very significant event for students, not only in Bibb County, but all over the nation. I just saw an email from Governor Kemp's office where he has extended the public health state of emergency through May 13th. It was set to expire the middle of April. So it's going to continue on. In Georgia, they're looking at an anticipated date of reaching the apex of the curve for cases of COVID-19 on April 23rd. And so I think his extension of that is recognizing even if we get to the apex near the end of April, we still have to come down on the other side of the curve. So what we're looking at is a board meeting April 16th, where we will share with the board our current thinking about graduation, and board members to share with us what they've heard. We did a thing called the Thought Exchange to find out from the community what they would like to see. And for the most part, people are saying, if you can, wait. Have a graduation ceremony the end of June. If you have to, wait to July or August. We're going to look at those options. We're looking at having a virtual graduation as well and seeing maybe it's a combination of a virtual as well as an in-person. The problem that I think you run into with having a delayed graduation, though, is life goes on. And so if it gets too late, students will have left, have gone on to either their jobs or gone to college, and they may not. It's not going to be the same. I'll just be honest. An in-person graduation on the date that we have scheduled is the very best experience that can be there. Those memories will be with students for the rest of their lives. Right now, that's looking may not occur. I'm not going to say we won't do it. Conditions on the ground are changing every day. But for now, we're planning contingency plans.
Well, we are going to take a quick break because I think that this is a time that we should ask God to bless America, because this is trying times, and Happy Talk Radio is about keeping it all happy. And I think that Dr. Jones, you've done a wonderful job in terms of keeping the momentum going and keeping everybody optimistic. So let's take a moment and listen to this song, God Bless America. Welcome back to Happy Talk. This is Gloria Stanley, your host, with some very in-depth conversation this morning with Dr. Curtis Jones. Dr. Jones, I want to get a little personal with you in this second half. I know a lot of meetings have been canceled. How has that impacted the school system? And what does it mean to you that we are all in this together?
Thank you. And again, thank you for letting me be on the show. We're continuing to have many of the meetings that we had scheduled. For example, I would meet with my direct reports every day for what we call a stand-up. We're now doing that virtually. And so we have cameras that are on and we can talk to one another, and we've continued that process. Yesterday, I met with all of the principals and coordinators and directors in the district. A total of about 85 people were on a virtual meeting, again, where we were able to share data. We've been doing that weekly now since this started. We usually have that meeting once a month, but the intent is to make sure that we're communicating and everybody's on the same page. And we're able to share those documents, as always, either through email or by putting into what we call SharePoint or OneDrive so individuals can get access to it. Principals are having faculty meetings online as well. And so it's led to that kind of change, and so we are in it together. And I think in many ways we're looking at it as an opportunity to come out of this better. I started this off by saying that we're teaching students in a different way, and how do you do that? But what we've learned is that one-to-one technology needs to be in place sooner versus later. We have some of that in many of our schools, but not all. And we've learned that everyone needs to continue to refine their skills for implementing technologies, not just having a smart board in the classroom, but it's what are students doing with it when they get home? What happens when they don't? How do you catch up with them? And so that's been important for us as well. And so we are in it together. We're learning. We're learning how this goes, and teachers are sharing best practices and best ideas with their coworkers, and they're sending it back and forth among each other, and principals are doing the same. So we're in it together, and I think it's also allowed teachers as well as custodial staff and nutrition workers, like I said before, recognize the true value that everybody's there. I've said it before, but I think it's come home even more now. Every adult in the school matters, every adult, and the relationships they have with our students matters. And the better those relationships are, the better our learning will be.
Well, tell me, how are you adapting to the change within your home?
Well, my daughter is a doctor, and she says that I'm not practicing staying inside as much as I should. I'll be honest, I was in the office yesterday. I was in the office the day before that. I will be down in the office this afternoon as well. We have pretty much told everyone to work from home as much as you can. But yesterday, for example, I thought it was important that if I'm having nutrition workers out preparing meals, that I and other senior cabinet members get to go see them face to face. They need to recognize that they're not the only ones who are coming out. I can't ask people to do something that I'm not willing to do. So trying to do my best to stay safe. I did put a face mask on yesterday. I put a hairnet on as I went into the kitchens. But we're doing our best to practice it and to stay safe. But I'll be honest, when I come home, my wife says, take those shoes off at the door. Take those clothes off. Put them in the dirty clothes. Right. How many people did you get to today? Go wash your hands. Clean your phone. So we're trying. And across the board, I think we're trying.
Well, we really do appreciate your leadership, and it would be wonderful if you could share with us, this is Happy Talk Radio, and our mission is to keep the audience encouraged. So if you would close with something, we have about 2 minutes left, close and let us and encourage us in times like these.
Well, I appreciate that. I think our vision is that our students will demonstrate strength of character and will be college or career ready. And I don't think there's been any other time that we've been able to see our students demonstrate strength of character than we have during this particular period. we have students who have responded in ways that have been simply amazing. I shared earlier that teachers are saying that some students who barely speak in class are now volunteering to speak, and that they are doing the work, that they are turning it in, and that they're engaging with their classmates as well. That's what we want to see. You know, a lot of times people will say that we have a school system that's not doing well. This school system helped lead the Middle Georgia in responding to COVID-19. We were one of the first districts to say that we're going to close a week from now, and we took that time to start preparing and to get ready. That was because we had a chief of staff and senior cabinet officers and principals and teachers who buckled down and did the work. And I'll be honest, late on a Tuesday night, on a Sunday night, I decided that we're not going to be open until Wednesday, but we're going to have to close on Tuesday. That Monday, people came in and they were focused. And the emails I've received have been mostly from teachers who are saying, I miss my kids. I need to get back in the school. Mm-hmm. Even when I made the decision not to give more packets because of my concern over the next 2 weeks about people gathering, I have teachers who are saying, but I got to be able to see my kids because right now they need more instruction from us. That is who we have working for us in our schools. A lot of times people think they can do what teachers do. My belief is these teachers have been amazing. Our paraprofessionals have been amazing. And those folks who are not able to work remotely are still doing their jobs. I saw people out cutting grass yesterday. I see people still inside our buildings. They are doing what they have to do in order to make sure Bibb County is going to have one of the best school systems in the state. I think Bibb Countyans should be proud of that. People are working hard. And they're doing it because they care.
And we are. We are very proud of that. We have about a minute left, and I want to thank you, Dr. Jones, for being my guest on Happy Talk Radio. Thank you for encouraging us here on Happy Talk Radio and keeping us up to date in terms of what's happening to our kids and the teachers and the community during this COVID-19 pandemic. So thank you once again for being on Happy Talk Radio. This is Gloria Stanley, your host, with the most interesting news that you need to know to keep you positive. Would you like to say anything else, Dr. Jones? We're going to rise it up.
Again, thank you so much for letting us come. And everyone, just stay encouraged and stay in prayer. We will come out of this better.
Yes, sir. Amen. Thank you again.